Praise the Lord. Is mic on? All right. Sometimes when with our missionaries and everything, we wonder what we can do. And this story is out of a book. It's called Night Light by James Dobson. And it's just about a page and a half, so I'm going to read it. But it's very interesting to me. It says, the missionary rose and prepared to leave the campsite where he had spent the night en route to the city for medical supplies. He extinguished his small campfire, pulled on his canvas backpack, and hopped on his motorcycle to continue his ride through the African jungle. Every 2 weeks, he made this two-day journey to collect money from a bank and purchase medicine and supplies for a small field hospital where he served. When he completed those errands, he hopped on his bike again for the two-day return trip. When the missionary arrived in the city, he collected his money and medical supplies and was just about to leave for home when he saw two men fighting in the street. Since one of the men was seriously injured, the missionary stopped, treated him for his injuries, and shared the love of Christ with him. Then the missionary began his two-day trek home, stopping in the jungle again to camp overnight. 2 weeks later, as was his custom, the missionary again made the journey to the city. As he ran his various errands, the young man approached him again, the same man the missionary had ministered to during his previous trip. I knew you carried money and medicine with you, said the man, so my friends and I followed you to your campsite in the jungle after you helped me in the street. We planned to kill you and take all the money and drugs, but just as we were about to move in and attack you, we saw 26 armed guards surround and protect you. You must be mistaken, said the missionary. I was all alone when I spent the night in the jungle. There were no guards or anyone else with me. But, sir, I wasn't the only one who saw the guards. My five companions saw them too. We counted them. Then were 26 bodyguards. There were 26 bodyguards, too many for us to handle. Their presence stopped us from killing you. Months later, the missionary related this story to the congregation gathered in his home church in Michigan. As he spoke, one of the men listening stood up and interrupted him and asked the exact day the incident in the jungle had occurred. When the missionary identified the specific month and day of the week, the man told him the rest of the story. On the exact night of your incident in Africa, it was a morning here in Michigan, and I was on the golf course. I was about to putt when I felt a strong urge to pray for you. The urge was so strong that I left the golf course and called some men of our church right here in this sanctuary to join me in praying for you. Would all of you men who prayed with me that day stand up? The missionary wasn't concerned with who the men were. He was too busy counting them one by one. Finally, he reached the last one. There were 26 men, the exact number of armed guards that thralled the attacker, or the thralled attacker had seen. So sometimes, you know, we don't know what we can do for our missionaries, but we can pray for them. And that's why, you know, it's a good thing that Pastor has them back on the board. We can look at the pictures, see their faces. When they come in to visit, we know exactly who they are. And then, you know, we can pray for them. And we might, the Holy Spirit might urge us to pray for them. And so, you know, it's very, like I say, very interesting story. As far as I know, this is true. So praise the Lord.
We are finishing up our missions convention. If you missed any services or you would like to have any services, they've all been recorded. And they will be up on the website tomorrow. So if you want to listen to them, download them, or if you want a CD of them, you can request one and I can have that for you on Sunday. But we had some good services. We had a great, the Gideon guy was great. David Murray, he was good. Brian May on Sunday night was good. Charity's dad did a fantastic job. he just felt honored to be able to come up here and share with you guys and what the Lord put on his heart. And I know we've been challenged. And so this evening, what I want to do is I wanted to kind of close out the missions convention, but to actually begin something new. Sunday morning, we introduced our vision, our mission of the church. And I think everything that we have talked about throughout this whole missions convention actually comes right back to what we believe Fellowsville Assembly of God is supposed to be doing. And so this evening, I want to try to sum up everything that I can from the missions convention, but also to encourage us to continue to move forward. Not only from what we were talking about from missions convention, I know everybody got, the Lord spoke to us in many different ways, and we got a lot of stuff out of it, but I want us to not just stop because missions convention ends tonight, but I want us to keep moving forward in what he has for us. Not only as a church, though, but as individuals. So I'm actually going to be a little bit all over the place this evening, if that's all right. But it's all good, because God's word is awesome. Amen? All the time. Now you know why Charity can't stand still. He's all over the place. This evening I want to talk about the impossible task. The impossible task. On September 12, 1962, President John F. Kennedy declared the United States would send a rocket to the moon. When he spoke those words, some of the metal alloys necessary to even build a rocket hadn't even been invented yet. Talk about a vision. It seemed like an impossible task, but on July 20th, 1969, Neil Armstrong stepped down to the moon and gave his famous line, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Right? Reaching a world ravished by wars, poverty, and hunger is a daunting task. It can be overwhelming. The world is open for business 24 hours a day, yet 24% of the world lives on less than a dollar a day. Isn't that amazing? 24% of the world lives on a dollar a day. You think you have it bad? Praise the Lord. I've always learned, you think you have it bad, somebody always has it better than you, and somebody always has it worse than you. So just thank the Lord that you're where you're at. More than 32% of the gross world product is related to structures of sin. For instance, money laundering, gambling, organized crime, drug trafficking, pornography, sex trade. 32% of the gross world product comes from those venues. And on top of all of that, if you're not discouraged yet, on top of all that, we have Islam challenging Christianity at every turn. So we have a huge, impossible task ahead of us as the body of Christ. To reach a world that is spinning out of control, we must be committed to the task of introducing the gospel to billions who have never heard. That's right, I said billions who have never heard. So how can we accomplish what sometimes feel impossible? Well, the first thing we can do is pray. Prayer is always a good thing. So let's do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're alive and well, that you are working even today in the hearts of men, and your will is being done as we speak. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, as we wrap up this missions convention, it wouldn't be an ending, but it will be a beginning of a new thing that you're starting in our life. Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, to be open to what you would have to say to us. And help us not only to hear it, but to apply it to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to do this impossible task that we've been called to do as Christians, is we need to see with the eyes of faith. I know we haven't talked about faith in a while. We only did a study, 9 weeks on a Wednesday night? But we need to see through the eyes of faith. Just a little reminder, our church motto is this: in the heart of the community, with the community at heart. We need to see through the eyes of faith. God has called us to our community. It may be an impossible task. Man, 106,000 people in a 20-mile radius. God's called us to our community. That's too many people. We can't do it on our own. But see, we need to see through the eyes of faith. It reminds me in Numbers chapter 13. In Numbers chapter 13, Caleb and Joshua disagreed with the 10 spies who thought conquering Canaan was impossible. Remember the story? They saw grapes when the others saw giants. I love fruits. I'm there. I probably would have saw grapes too. But they saw grapes when the others saw giants. Caleb said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it." That's in Numbers 13:30. And Isaiah 43:10 reminds us that God will help when it looks impossible. I think all too often we look at the task at hand, we say we can't do it. It's not going to happen. We look around this evening and we see many empty pews. We can't do this. It's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. Right? We need to see through the eyes of faith. God himself reminds us in Isaiah 43:10, "You are witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me. God is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's as powerful back then as he will be in the future as he is now." If God's called us to do something, we need to do it. No matter how impossible the task is, instead of looking through our fleshly eyes, our carnal eyes, we need to look through our eyes of faith saying, "God, if you told me to do it, I believe that you're going to help me accomplish it. God, you've called us to this community, 106,000 people. I don't see how it's going to happen in the fleshly realm, but in my spiritual realm, I know that by faith, nothing is impossible with God. So I know that I'm going to do what you've called me to do. I'm going to do everything that I can do what you have called me to do, and that's to reach this community." We need to see through the eyes of faith. That's where the motto is. We're in this community. God has placed us here for a reason. I've had many talks with Joanne. I've talked to her, and she and I have had many great discussions. Because you know what? I frankly asked her, Why did you and Bill build this church? What's the whole point of it? Bill had a vision of saving souls. And for you guys who know Bill, you knew that's what he was about. Can I tell you that hasn't changed? Hello? God hasn't changed the vision of this church just because the founding pastor's not here anymore. Hello? He's placed us in this community with the community in mind. We need to remember that. God has placed us in this community with the community in mind. We need to be thinking, okay, how can I reach so-and-so? When I go to the Walmart in Kingwood, or when I go to Walmart in Grafton, or when I go here or there, how can I reach somebody else for Jesus Christ? How can I do it? Remember, you may not feel good. You may be having a bad day. You may be having a bad hair day. There you go. Don't be pointing to Lisa. No, I'm kidding. But you know what? We need to look through the eyes of faith and say, "God, no matter how small our church may seem, our God is bigger. Our God is big." Why is this a recurring thing? Our God is big. It doesn't matter. I hope that we do not get discouraged. I hope that we do not get discouraged, because God has called us to do some awesome things in this community, and he's either going to do it with us or without us, and I want to be involved in that. So we need to see through the eyes of faith. Secondly, we need to touch with the heart of compassion. Our vision statement is simply, we are committed to being a safe place where people can come, build relationships with Christ and others, and work together to reach others for Christ. See, Jesus walked in the same kind of world as we walk. We tend to forget that. But the world that Jesus walked in is the same kind of world that we walk in today. So we need to find, sometimes we need to step back and say, okay, the very popular cliche, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle this? And look at what he did. Mark chapter 1, verse 41. It says this, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Whoopee. But if we read the whole story, what it's talking about a leper. Jesus comes across a leper. And Jesus first, he turns to look at the leper. Some of us, we can't even do that. We're too busy. Some of us are too busy to even stop and do what God's called us to do. I want you to talk to this person. God, I'm running late. I need to go here. I need to go there. But see, Jesus stopped, turned, and saw the leper. Secondly, he listened to the leper. You know, sometimes, 9 times out of 10, most people nowadays just need somebody to listen to them. Do you know that? 9 times out of 10, somebody just needs somebody to listen to them. I think all too often we get all excited. We're like, I'm going to lead this person to Jesus. Woo! And then you just go, do you know that Jesus loves you? He died on the cross for your sin, for God so loved the world, blah, 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 all that other stuff. And you're trying to get everything in, hoping that this guy accepts, or this woman accepts Jesus Christ. And all they want to do is have somebody to listen to their problems and what they're going through. See, Jesus himself first stopped, looked at the leper, and then he listened to him. We need to stop. And we need to listen. Do we know what's going on in our community? Not through hearsay or so-and-so said this, so-and-so said this. Are we actually talking with the individuals in our community? Hey, how you doing today? What are you going through? What's going on? Is there something I can pray with you about? Have we done that? Or are we too busy to stop? Are we too busy to stop and listen? Thirdly, he was willing to feel. The Greek word for compassion here is derived from the word intestine. Pretty cool, huh? All right. We're going to be eating later on. Suggesting his stomach went into a knot when he saw the leper. When it said that Jesus had compassion on him, his stomach turned to knots because of the way he felt about this individual. I mean, it's so easy for us to get desensitized to what's going on around us. You watch the news, yeah, another school shooting. I mean, when it happened in Columbine, it was a huge deal. Now it's like, oh, really? Okay. So-and-so's missing. So-and-so got murdered. So-and-so got locked up for drugs. Oh, well, that's too bad. What happened to the compassion that we're supposed to have for other people? Not just saying, oh, I'll be praying for you. But the one that actually grips inside of you, puts your stomach in knots, makes you feel uncomfortable until you can do something for that individual. Jesus stopped, looked, listened, and he had compassion on him to the point where it actually moved him into action. In order for us to make an impact on our community, we need to do that. Well, that's great. I know how to stop, drop, and roll. That's good. We need to stop, look, listen, and have compassion. If we're going to impact our community for Jesus Christ, we need to slow down. Plain and simple. We need to slow down. If we want this to be a safe place for where people know that they can come, there's going to be somebody here to listen to them. This is going to be a safe place and nobody's going to talk bad about them. They can just come and just connect with somebody. Well, they're not going to come here to connect to somebody if nobody's going to sit down, take the time, and listen. Are we going to do that? We need to see through the eyes of faith. God, I know you can do this for us. I know with your help we can do this. We need to touch with the heart of compassion. We need to stop. We need to look. We need to listen. And we need to have that compassion. We need to be moved to action. We must do what Jesus did. Compassion is about helping people become who they were always meant to be. Loved by God and changed by Jesus. I want to say that again. Compassion is about helping people become who they were always meant to be. Loved by God and changed by Donnie. No, I'm sorry. Changed by faith. No. Changed by Jesus. So we don't do the changing at all. We pray for them. We love them as God loves them. And we let the Holy Spirit and Jesus change them. Duh. Maybe we're making this a lot harder than what it's supposed to be to begin with. Instead of changing other people, let God do that. Just love them. Just love them. If we are moved as Jesus was, we will attempt what appears to be the impossible. We will attempt to what appears to be the impossible. See, Jesus touched a leper who was considered an outcast. Ouch. We can stop right there if you want to. Jesus reached out and touched somebody who was considered an outcast. Can I step on some toes? You can start moving if you want to. There's a place called Hollywood, right? When was the last time you were down there talking to somebody? When was the last time you talked to somebody from there? From what I gather, it's those types of living conditions that make people feel like they're an outcast. And it's those type of people we don't want to be around. There's places like that up in Grafton too. Charity and I found them. But see, my challenge to us is, when was the last time we just sat down, stopped, looked, and listened to him? When was the last time we did that? I'm saying we because I'm including myself into this. They're outcasts. Nobody wants to be seen with them. People are probably saying all sorts of things about them. So if we're caught around them, they're going to start talking about us. What about everybody else? But see, Jesus here touched a leper who was considered an outcast. Uh-oh, here we go. So he not only talked to somebody who was considered an outcast, but he broke the Jewish law to exhibit compassion. If we follow his example, we will be committed to take a risk to exhibit compassion. So he also did what other people wouldn't do, said not to do, to show compassion to this individual. Huh. What would Jesus do? Now I'm not saying, Tyler, I want you to go to Hollywood and touch everybody there. Because I know that's exactly what he's thinking. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I think we need to get out of the mindset of, you know what? We say our God's a big God. We say that God loves everybody in the world, but we wouldn't be caught seeing with some certain people. And if we are, we're scared of how our reputation's going to be. I'm more scared about my reputation with God than with other people. So if Jesus himself, what would Jesus do? Didn't worry about the outcast. Didn't worry about the rules and what everybody else was doing. Maybe should we get back to that? Maybe? Because if we're going to reach our community, there's going to be some things that we haven't done before. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, because if we were doing the things that we were supposed to be doing, we would have been reaching our community. But the number one rule is if you keep doing something over and over and over again and it doesn't work, maybe you should change what you're doing so you can get the different result that you want. What would Jesus do? Touch with a heart of compassion. We need to be willing to take a risk on what other people are going to think. What are other people going to say? Who cares? Are they going to heaven or hell? That's what I'm going to say. Plain and simple. See through the eyes of faith. Touch with a heart of compassion. And thirdly, never quit, even when it looks impossible. Our mission statement is we will reach outside our walls. And that's going to be hard right there, right? Well, okay, I'll get off that soapbox. We will reach outside our walls by developing, equipping, and sending out disciples to be Christ in flesh to those we come in contact with. Charles Spurgeon once said, "One man says, I will do as much as I can." Anyone can do that. He that believes in Christ does what he cannot do, attempts the impossible, and performs it. I talked about the mentality leadership podcast that I was listening to the other day. Instead of getting in the mindset of trying to reach as many people as you can, just start with one person. Do to one person what you wish you could do for everybody. And have that mindset for each person you come in contact with. Don't give up when it looks impossible. Can I be honest? Wait. Side note. Cool. Side note. Good. I'm glad because I did it slowly for you. Looking around tonight, past few nights, what we're trying to do as a church looks impossible. Hello? Can I say that? But I know that with God, all things are possible. See, it's easy for us to look around and see who's here and who's not here. Who's doing what, who's not doing what. And saying, you know what, if so-and-so is not going to do it, I'm not going to do it either. But you know what, if we're called to do this, and we know that we are, even when it looks impossible, we can't quit. We can't quit. Jesus never quit. So why would we quit? If you think about it, we're going to stand before him one day. Stand before the one who never quit. I don't want to stand before him and said, it was impossible, so I quit. I don't want to do that. Because if we truly believe what the Word of God says, that with God all things are possible, then that's not a valid excuse, and we need to throw it out the window. Jesus is still calling people to fulfill the Great Commission. Some are called to pray. Can I tell you something? We are blessed. And I'm not just saying this, I mean this. We are blessed to have people in this church as prayer warriors. Joanne's one of them. And I know there are a couple others scattered throughout the church that are prayer warriors. You know, if without prayer, it can't happen. There are some people who are called to pray.
Well, Pastor, actually, we're all supposed to pray. Yeah, okay, that's great.
But I mean really pray. Like wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, pray. Not, dear Lord, thank you for this food, amen. But some people are called to pray. And I'm thankful because there are some churches who don't have that. I'm thankful that we have that here. Some are called to preach. Some are called to speak the Word of God. It's not just my job. It's all of our jobs. Can I tell you, we have some people in here who are ready to tell anybody and everybody who Jesus Christ is. Hello? That's awesome. We have some people who are called to pray. We have some people who are called to preach or to speak. And there are some who are called to pay.
Oh, great. He's talking about money.
No, just stop. I'm not talking about financially, but time, socially, anything. When we talk about pay, it's not just money. I'm excited about the outreach that we're going to be doing this coming up week at Loftus Lanes in Grafton, Sunday night. Don't come to church Sunday night. There's no service. We're having service up at the bowling alley. And you're more than welcome to come and help. But you know what? That takes time out of somebody's schedule to actually commit to that and actually do that. Some people are called to do that. We're all supposed to do that. But I think what we need to do is we need to... Pastor Boyce last night talked about the filling the water. Remember that? If you weren't here last night, you need to listen to that tomorrow. The week before, he talked about it's time to weep. Weep for the lost. Then Sunday night, we had Brian May talk about what God's doing for Israel. And Sunday morning, we had the Gideons on how powerful God's using the Word of God all across the world. The reason why we did that was this. You have the Word of God, first and foremost. And God's Word is reaching His chosen people. We need to continue to pray for the nation of Israel. But you know what? In order for us to reach our community and fulfill what God's called us to do, we need to have a heart for the lost. We need to be able to weep for the lost. We need to have a heart for the lost. But you know what? In order to go out and actually reach the lost, we need to be filled. We need to be prayed up and geared up. Because whenever you do the work of God, you're going to be in a battle. It's the way it happens. You need to get filled up with the Spirit. You need to get prayed up. You need to be ready for anything. Are we ready? Are we ready to fulfill the mission that God has called us to do? God will not ask you to give what you do not have, but He will frequently ask you to give what you would like to keep. He will not ask you to give what you do not have, but He will frequently ask you to give what you would like to keep. You do what is possible, and God will do the impossible. We're at a crossroads here at Fellowsville. Okay? We're moving forward. We have a vision. We know what God's called us to do. We're going to do the best that we can with prayer and with God's help to accomplish that. But we all need to be on board. It's not just a pastor thing. It's not just a board thing. It's a church thing. And what I would encourage us to do as a church is to continue to pray and say, God, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do? Maybe it's once a week, stop where you haven't stopped before and talk to somebody and just listen to them. That goes a long way. I've met with some people since I've been here, and all I've done is listen. And I would be there for about 2 or 3 hours, just listening. That's all people want. Just somebody who would just listen to them. That's what being Christ to other people is. It's an impossible task. It is. But we should thrive on that. Because with God, all things are possible. Amen? And if it helps, you can think of the Mission Impossible theme song in the back of your mind. Dun, 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 dun. Okay? But with God, all things are possible. Moving forward is hard. Doing what God has called us to do is hard. But can I tell you something? When you do what God's called you to do, what you think that you lose, you'll get so much more in return. So much more. And I'm expecting God to do some awesome things in our life. We'll be talking about our faith promise cards on Sunday. That's an awesome opportunity that we have. So I hope that you've been praying about those. But we have an impossible task, but we can do it. Okay. I know we can do it. Everybody else is like, so we have 2, 4, 6, 8, 9. Do the math. I'm telling you, I'm believing God is going to be delivering people. We hear time and time again, all we hear is the negative stuff around this area. There's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of crime. There's never this, or there's never that. Can I tell you, I'm looking for a turnaround in our community. I'm looking for people to be delivered from drugs and alcohol addiction. I'm looking for God to do some amazing things and actually to raise people up out of places like Hollywood and all that other stuff to preach the gospel. I'm believing that. And we will see that as long as we continue to do what God's called us to do. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you that we have an impossible task. Because, see, it's easy to do things that we can do on our own because then we don't have to give you the credit. But, see, when we have to do things that we know that we can't do on our own, that we need your help, all the glory and honor goes to you. And Lord, I pray as you've called us to this community, as you called us to be Christ in flesh to the people that we come in contact with, I pray that you would help us to live the way that you've called us to live daily. Lord, help us to die to ourselves daily. Help us to lay our attitudes. Help us to lay the gossip. Help us to lay the negativity. Help us to lay all the stuff that hinders us and what you want to do in our life. Help us to lay those down and to move forward. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us to look through the eyes of faith, have a heart of compassion, and to not give up, and even when we think maybe we're the only ones doing it. Lord, be with each and every one of us this evening. Lord, we're not worried about this church. You'll take care of this church. What we're worried about is bringing souls into the kingdom of God. And Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would use us in any way that you would see fit. Give us God opportunities and help us to see those. Be with us as we eat, because that's one of the reasons why you created us, is to eat, to have fellowship. And Lord, be with us, protect us as we go our separate ways, and bring us back safely on Sunday. I pray for this outreach that we're going to be doing at Loftus Lanes this coming up week, that your will be done, and that our lifestyle, our actions would speak louder than anything else. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.